A poet of my youth sang, "All you need is love." And he was right, but not in the way he meant it. Recall that today is the third of seven consecutive Sundays on which the second lesson is taken from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We've seen already why Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, because the Christians there were a house divided against themselves, quarreling among each other about who was the most important and who should lead. As we've seen in the previous 2 weeks, Paul is saying, yes, there's a marvelous diversity of gifts, some of them extraordinary gifts, given by God to each person in the church for the benefit of all. And now today he comes to this: strive eagerly for the greatest spiritual gifts. It's no bad thing to want to excel in any human endeavor, including life in the church. So strive for the greatest spiritual gifts, but I shall show you a still more excellent way. More excellent than extraordinary gifts of any kind is a gift common to every man, woman, and child: love. He then goes on to say, no matter what your gifts, listing several of the most extraordinary, they are nothing if I do not have love. Then comes the famous description of love we hear so often at weddings. But listen to these words again and ask yourself, does this correspond to my experience of love? Love is patient, kind. It is not jealous, pompous, inflated, rude. It does not seek its own interests. Love is not quick-tempered. It does not brood over injury. It does not rejoice over wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Really? Love never fails? It does, doesn't it? Friendships are ruptured. Marriages are broken. Love in the human condition fails all the time. Our hearts are filled with jealousy, rudeness, pomposity, anger. And all too easily, these seem to overcome love of every kind. So what could he possibly mean, Paul, in writing these words, unless he's smoking something John Lennon would have enjoyed? Is this just a flight of fancy? To answer that question, we must remember that our one English word, love, does duty for many words in Greek, including especially four different kinds of love. You can read an extended discussion of this in a beautiful little book by C.S. Lewis called The Four Loves. Lewis reached back in history to antiquity, to the pagan wisdom about friendship from Cicero, to a Christian understanding of friendship from St. Aelred of Rivaux, from the sermons of St. Bernard of Clairvaux, meditating on divine love, all of these drawn together in this proverbial slim volume of Lewis on the four loves. There's Eros, of course, the passion of lovers. There is Philia, the fraternal bond of friends. There is Storge, the powerful affection that we give to pets, to our favorite teams, to places that mean a great deal to us, to other people, even those we don't know well, but with whom we have congenial fellowship. All three of these ways of loving, Eros, Philia, and Storge, are essential to human happiness. But it is of none of these three that Paul writes, when he says that love never fails. He speaks here, of course, of agape, which is translated into Latin as caritas, charity for us. And the charity he has in mind is the love of God himself. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. These two commandments summarize all the law and the prophets. And on the night of the Last Supper, the night in which he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus said, I give you a new commandment, love one another as I have loved you. And how did he love us? To the end, to the cross, to the grave. That is the love of which the apostle says, love never fails. If we look ahead to the end of this morning's second lesson, we find this: faith, hope, and love remain, these three. These three virtues, that is, stable dispositions that allow us to act promptly, joyfully, and easily in a way corresponding to each. These three, faith, hope, and love, are not like other human virtues that we acquire by repetition, like learning to play an instrument or a sport or master a science or a language. These three are theological virtues. That is, they are divine gifts, and they are poured into us at the moment of our baptism. When we are born again by water and the Holy Spirit, faith, hope, and love are poured into us. And it is these three that enable us to live the life of the new creation, the life of grace. But Paul says these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Why should love be greater than faith and hope? Well, let's look above. He says, at present, we see indistinctly as in a mirror. By present, he means in this life. And recall that for Paul, a mirror didn't mean what it means for us. It was metal polished to a sheen. The reflection was not nearly what we think of as a mirror image. It was obscure, dark, indistinct. Our understanding of God in this life is like that. But then, he adds, meaning at the throne of grace, then we shall see face to face. At present, I know partially. Then, at the throne of grace, I shall know fully as I am fully known. When we see God in the face and are changed by that vision from glory into glory, we will no longer need faith or hope. Why? Faith is the substance of things not seen, and when we see God in the face, we no longer need faith to draw near to him. When we have been glorified with the saints and angels, we no longer need hope, for that which we yearn for above all, we will have directly and personally. We know partially now, and we prophesy partially, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. At the throne of grace, there will be no sacraments. The sacraments are means of grace that unite us to the one we hope for and in whom we have faith. But when we stand face to face with him, the sacraments will cease. And so when the sacraments have ceased and faith and hope are no more, what remains? Love. You see, the poet was right. All we need is love, provided we understand that to be the love of God, eternal and perfect, made present to us in the life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ.